Monster Man, episode 413, Gorgon to Gremlin.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through Monsters Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And we're going to take a look at mostly monsters we've seen already, and a few that we haven't, or that have been changed a bit. Before we get started, though, a couple of pieces of administration. First, I'd like to thank a Patreon backer. That's right, this is someone who has gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 to help support the show. So thank you very much to returning patron Thomas Louth, or Loth. I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name, Thomas. I hope you don't think that it means I don't appreciate your support. Second, some work of mine is available in a couple of different ways at present. There is a bundle on Itch that helps support medical and refugee charities for people affected by the war in Ukraine. It's raised, at the time that I'm recording this, nearly $5 million, which is pretty shocking to me. You get like 900 different items in it, so my one thing is a pretty small part of it, but my zine, The Pamphlet of Pantheons, is included in that bundle, and you can find it, but you have to go to books rather than physical games. It's in there. There's a link to that in the show notes. Speaking of things that are on Itch, this is the final week for my Itch funding campaign for the Magonia Mine Murders. It's a scenario that I wrote. Again, you can find a link down in the show notes. Lastly, there will be a regular episode this Friday, but there will be no special episode because I am traveling this weekend and I don't want to rush the production of a special episode. Special episodes are about twice the length of regular episodes, but they take a lot more than twice the amount of preparation, typically because they just involve a lot more research. And that's great. I love it. But it does, this week, I just worry that I wouldn't have the time to do it justice, and that it, you know, I would hate for that to happen. So this week, you're just going to have to contain yourselves with a regular episode, which I'm recording pretty far in advance. Okay, so with all of that out of the way, and thank you for your patience, let's take a look at some monsters. First up, we have the Gorgon. Now, this is the distinctive D&D Gorgon, which is a sort of armored, poison-breathing cow creature. We've already covered it way back in Season 1. And in that episode, I think, I pointed out that this particular meaning of Gorgon comes from Edward Topsell's History of Four-Footed Beasts, which either Gygax was familiar with, or I think this was, like, summarized or discussed in some comparatively, like, commonplace book about monsters and folklore from the 60s or 70s. This is an example of a monster that is really not improved by its Monstrous Manual incarnation, because it adds a bunch of stuff about the ecology of the Gorgon that basically amounts to, like, their cows. You know, you'll meet a bull and a couple of females. When there are lone bulls, they're, like, out looking for a mate. They breathe and turn people to stone because they can eat the stone, I guess. This monster is so weird that attempts to fit it into a normal ecology don't really work very well. And indeed, they kind of, sometimes that can produce like a fun juxtaposition, but that doesn't seem to be the case here. I think sometimes you can see that the writer feels that they have to do an ecology thing, and so they kind of grab whatever hook is coming off the monster. And here, I guess that was the cow aspect of it, but that's not a terribly compelling place to start, unfortunately. Next up, we have the Grell, one of the Fiend Folio classics. In this entry, they get some elaboration that really sounds to me like there was a Dragon magazine article on the ecology of the Grell sometime between, you know, 1981 and 1993. And we get some elaboration in terms of, like, ruling classes for the Grell. So we have the Grell Philosopher and Grell Patriarch, who are a bit more intelligent and kind of are among the sort of higher functions of the Grell Hive. And they get a weapon for some of these guys in the form of the Lightning Spear. It's fine. I think the Grell has always been a monster that was sort of visual first. The horrid image of that brain and the beak and the tentacles, I think, you know, that's really very effective. But I've never really put a lot of thought into what Grell society is like, even though, you know, they are intelligent. I think they work best as they are illustrated in the Fiend Folio, right? I think they gained their popularity on the strength of that illustration. So I don't know how much this detail really adds to them, because I always thought that they worked very well being kind of enigmatic. And then finally, we have the Gremlin. Well, I say finally we have the Gremlin, but Gremlin is actually two entries taking up 4 pages and covering 6 monsters. So one of the things that I mentioned in the first 3 seasons as we were going through Monster Manual, Fiend Folio, and Monster Manual 2 was that there were an awful lot of like little mischievous trickster guys in these books. And here, several of them have been combined into a single entry, or actually 2 entries. So the first entry, Gremlin, contains 5 monsters. Of these, 3 are monsters that we have previously covered. Those are the Mite, the Snaiad, and the Galtrit. Now the Galtrit also appears in the Monster Manual 2's index as the Gremlin. I think it's is it actually a Fiend Folio monster? I feel like it is. Maybe I'm thinking of the Garbug. Anyway, the Monster Manual 2 has an index that covers all 3 monster books, which is one of the reasons I use it so much. So we here get a new monster called a Gremlin, which actually did not appear in a first edition monster book that I know of. And this is much closer to what you'd think of when you think of a Gremlin. It's a monster that is basically physically quite harmless, but delights in like playing pranks and sabotaging things. It has wings, I presume because gremlins are mainly associated with aircraft, right? Gremlins emerged from the kind of mythology of flight, specifically in the Second World War, and they were blamed for all the like inexplicable things that go wrong when people are maintaining and operating complex technology under stressful conditions. So here we get, you know, these 3 previous ones, the Galtrit, the Mite, and the Snaiad, and then we get 2 new, more kind of classic Gremlin monsters, the Gremlin and the Fremlin. And the Fremlin, which is a great name, by the way, is a friendly Gremlin. But other than that, it's pretty much similar to its Gremlin counterpart. Now, the Gremlin is basically optimized to be a pest, and you know how I feel about this kind of thing. I do not like monsters designed to essentially kind of bully the player characters, because the fact that they don't pose a physical threat, I think is almost many parties would prefer to fight something dangerous, because fighting a dangerous opponent doesn't like undercut your self-image. There is kind of a recurring idea in a lot of these books that player characters like think too much of themselves and they need the air let out of them a little bit. Listen, I have been in games and run games where there were kind of power-tripping player characters, absolutely. But between a power-tripping player character and a power-tripping GM, best case result is I don't see the difference. One detail that I really liked in this entry, that may have appeared in the original entry, but I didn't recall it, for the Mite, is the idea that the Mite King, because mites are so small, the Mite King is dressed in like ludicrously oversized clothes because, you know, they've scavenged up, like they've stolen, because they're little like kind of borrower type sort of thieves. They've stolen like the fanciest clothes they can find, but because nobody is as small as them, those clothes are so huge on their little ruler. And I think that that's pretty terrific. Finally, we get the Gremlin, Germlane. Don't ask me why this guy's not in the collective Gremlin entry. I guess the real reason would be that the Germlane entry is super long. This is actually something that's not inconsistent with the original Germlane entry in the Fiend Folio. It was also very long. It's one of the longer monster entries in the Fiend Folio. I don't know that it's a monster that merits it, so I can only assume that they were close to the author's heart. This version is very closely based on the Fiend Folio entry, with only a few minor changes. I think the change that I'm most attached to is, it says in the Fiend Folio Germlane entry that if the Germlane catch somebody, they sometimes eat them, but for the most part, they tie them up, take their equipment, strip them naked, shave them, and leave them in a dungeon corridor. And the second edition entry makes it clear that they shave them of all hair. So like they shave off all their body hair and they shave their heads. I suppose because the original entry could be interpreted to mean that the Germlane's like put them in a barber chair, lather them up and just like give them a nice hot towel and a shave. So that's weird. Is it the idea that like this is humiliating to dwarfs? Because it seems like it would take a long time. I mean, imagine that you are germlanes. So you're like little people, it's the size of like rats. So you are a bunch of little germlanes and you have decided to tie down this dwarf and shave their entire body. So you've got like a team of germlanes, like 2 germlanes holding each end of like an old-timey straight razor going along this dwarf's beer belly, trying to shave their whole body, right? On the one hand, the image is hilarious, like, what happened to you? Well, a bunch of mouse-sized sadists held me down and shaved my butt cheeks. But it really seems like a lot of effort. Poor old halflings, can you imagine? Having the, like, hairy tops of their feet all shaved? Oof, the humiliation. There's kind of a weird aspect to this. I do not understand why they shave them. It's one of those things whereby, like, clarifying this, I guess, ambiguous detail in the first entry, they've made it way weirder. It was only weird to begin with if you thought about it, and now you can't help but think about it. Other than that, the Germline are fine. There's so many weird details in this description that I can't decide whether I love them or don't. Like, that they appear to be wearing helmets, but they actually just have funny-shaped heads. Such strange creatures. So, nothing super exciting. We did get a more kind of, like, rationalized gremlin. You know, I will say that there are not, like, a lot of ways that Monstrous Manual, other than, you know, being up to date if you're playing second edition, has strengths compared to the first three monster books. One, of course, is the Tony Terlizzi art, which really benefits from being in color. So that's nice. And another is these consolidated monster entries, where multiple monsters that will kind of serve the same role are being put into single entries, often by the name by which they would be commonly known. So the Snaiad, like the Mite, like the Germlane, is what you or I would think of as a gremlin, I guess, right? Like a little mischievous guy. And they aren't overstuffed like a lot of the entries in Monster's Manual are. So on the whole, nothing here that's going to set the world on fire, but a pretty good solid variety of monsters and a nice rationalized gremlin entry. That's all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we are going to finally complete our journey through the G chapter of Monster's Manual. No joke, G is nearly a third of the book's length so far. If it was just a few pages longer, it would be. I have no idea what's like this. Well, giants, I guess. Lots of giants. Lots of giants, lots of golems. But in our next episode, we are going to finish up the G section as we look at the Griffin, the Grimlock, and the Gripply. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.